from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. Let's talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve and the economy. A month ago, 6 weeks ago, markets were suggesting the Fed would slash their interest rate targets 4, 5, 6 times. Now the story has changed, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any rate reduction for many, many months, if at all, this year. And somebody who's covered this to a T, my pal John Carney, Breitbart economics editor and co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest, which is a must-read. You know, John, I was reading your article on Chris Waller, who's, he's an acquaintance of mine. I helped get him nominated to the Fed. He's very well respected, and he issued a warning not to expect any rate cuts in the near term. And I don't know what the near term means. The near term could be the next 5 years. But anyway, what do you make of the Chris Waller story? He's really emerged as a key player, huh?
He really has. He has the real economic experience that other people on the Fed really listened to him. He was for years the head of research at the St. Louis Fed. And so when he speaks, other people at the Fed listen. And knowing that, the market actually pays a lot of attention to what Waller says as well. And what he said in his speech on Thursday night was that there's no reason for the Fed to be rushing to cut rates. The unemployment is very low. The economy appears to be growing fast. The latest ISM numbers tell us that even manufacturing is making a comeback. So why would there be any need for the Fed to say, yes, we need to start cutting now? He even went so far to point out something that I've been pointing out at Breitbart Business Digest, that usually when the Fed is cutting rates, it's because there's economic weakness. Mm. They don't just cut rates, you know, in search of a platonic, perfect, neutral rate. They do it because they see something weakening. With nothing weakening, why rush to cut rates now? And that was literally the name of his speech. He titled it, "What's the Rush?"
Yeah. Actually, I started reading it last night. I'll finish it today. He's a very clever guy. You know, Jim Bullard, who was the president of the St. Louis Fed for many years. Where's he now? I think he's the dean of the Purdue Business School. I think
that's right.
That where he went? Anyway, I knew Bullard. Bullard's another smart guy. And I wanted Bullard to think about coming on to the Federal Reserve Board, but he was running the St. Louis Fed. But he called me, John, when I was in government, and he just gave a very strong recommendation for Chris Waller, and I met him, and I liked him a lot. I brought him downstairs to meet the boss. The boss liked him a lot. We nominated him, got him through. But I think that reading his stuff is useful, right, because he's very smart. You know, he taught school at Notre Dame for a dozen years. Can't be all bad. And as you say, he was the research director of the St. Louis Fed, which is a very good shop. So he's looking at ISMs. It got my ears up because I've always looked at ISMs. And when I worked in government, I always warned people to pay attention to the ISMs. In fact, I taught the boss about the ISMs. I mean, it was just interesting. And besides GDP components, that he looked at that. And, you know, to your point, there's no crisis. There's no breakdown. There's no banking collapse. They took care of that a year ago and, you know, with the Silicon Valley. I mean, what you got is good growth. And, you know, the 3-year inflation prices, that's a problem. But in the last year or so, inflation's come way down. I mean, so it's like Goldilocks, for God's sakes.
That's right. Why cut into this? And plus, if you see what's happening in the stock market right now, there's nothing that would make you think, uh-oh, you know, there's a big downturn coming. We better cut. In fact, there's probably a risk that I have to think is in the minds of some Fed officials of blowing up a asset bubble if you cut rates right now. I mean, you have NVIDIA and the entire, you know, tech industry in a AI gold rush right now. Mm. Trying to, you know, cut rates into that kind of atmosphere is very bad. And one other thing I'd like to say about Waller that I didn't know about him. I knew him as somebody who, you know, had a very deep understanding of the economics and the research, but his speeches are really written in plain English. Yeah. Anybody can go ahead and read them and understand his point. And frankly, that's not all the Fed governors can speak like that. And he can. And I think that's very useful because he's not just speaking to, you know, academics. He's speaking to Americans with these. And I think it's very helpful.
You know, the other thing that was interesting this week when you were on the TV show, one of your daily bulletins mentioned Larry Summers. Summers, of course, correctly gave the red light to inflation back in 2021. But that Summers has not ruled out that the next move could be a rate hike. Now, there's a low probability, but still, it's an interesting point because Summers is a very smart guy. Yes, he's on the Democratic side, served Bill Clinton in the as Treasury Secretary. He had my job as the NEC director under Obama. I don't think he cares about politics one way or the other. He's just calling them as he sees them. How would you handicap a rate hike? I mean, wouldn't that be interesting?
I do think that I think Summers is actually, I think he's right. He's the first very prominent person to come out and say, look, guys, it is not zero. He thinks it's, you know, 10-15%. I think it's probably higher than that. I think that what we've seen, and again, this can all change, you know, as more data comes out. But what we've seen is that inflation really stopped falling last summer. Mm. It plateaued after that. This is something I, you know, I've covered a lot at Breitbart Business Digest where we, you know, I'm quoting to people the median inflation rates showing that there's not a serious decline going on. And then the last 3 months, it's slowly been climbing up again. Mm. If that keeps happening, I think there is a chance. And I would say non-trivial, it probably, you know, at least a 1 in 5 chance that the Fed does not get to cut at all, that you get a Republican coming into office in November. The economy actually starts to pick up even more steam because of that. Mm-hmm. And the Fed decides that it needs to start hiking again, which, by the way, as you and I know, if they start hiking the minute Donald Trump gets in office, that's going to be a pretty politically explosive situation.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Well, let's just say it'll be interesting. I lived through some of that a few years back. It'll be interesting. I think Jay Powell, you know, John, I'm just wandering around in my head talking about the Fed and Waller and Summers. Summers, by the way, would have made a pretty good Fed chairman. It's a pity they never made him. But I think Jay Powell and the Fed missed the move, the 2021 inflation move. All right, they missed it. They missed it. But I think since then, 22, last year, 23, this year, 24, I think Powell's playing it pretty straight. John Carney, I mean, I don't, yes. I know Jay, nobody's perfect in life, but I think he's playing it pretty straight.
I think he's also very cautious here. He knows he made an error on the dovish side in 2021, thought that inflation was going to be transitory, does not want to make the same mistake of being overly dovish again. And frankly, his decision to let the market know, and it turns out that all the Fed guys are on the same page, speech after speech. People, by the way, these guys don't really coordinate this. People think all the Fed guys, when they're saying the same thing, must have all talked to each other and decided to give the same speech. They don't. I mean, the San Francisco Fed president, it's not being given instructions by a Fed governor of what to say. They're, you know, Waller's speech is different than Mary Daly's, but they're all saying the same thing, which is, and I think this was very smart beginning in January, hey, we're not in a rush to cut rates. We're taking March off the table. That looks really smart after all the data we got after the January meeting. Powell looks really smart. If they hadn't said that, they would be scrambling right now to say, whoa, 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 we're not going to raise rates, because obviously they cannot raise rates in March. They actually got ahead of that and said, we think there's reason to be cautious here. That to me, in my mind, does make them look smart. It means that they're paying more attention. They're not taking anything for granted this time, which was the big mistake in 2021.
And it didn't do any harm. I mean, you think about it. So the bond market, so rates went up, the 10-year back to 4.30, but that's an acceptable level historically. And the stock market has done very well, as you pointed out. A lot of that's NVIDIA and the AI gold rush. But, I mean, you know, it's like in the Fed, telling the truth's a good thing. Like, you know, they should think about that. They should. It's a good idea. They should do it more often. I mean, markets are big boys, right? Markets are big boys. They'll deal with
it. That's right. And I think that, frankly, I think the 10-year is not at the height it's going to get to. I think we go above 5% mm-hmm. sometime this year mm-hmm. as the market realizes that it had overpriced in cuts, and that even when the Fed starts cutting, that it's not going to cut every meeting, it's not going to cut rapidly, that it's going to cut cautiously, little by little. The only reason it would cut more than that is if there was a big problem. And I do think that, as you said, the market is not made up of children. They can, you know, it can handle this sort of thing. And frankly, we've smoothly transitioned from the view of, you know, 6 or 7 rate cuts at one point to down to 3. And that's happened in part because the Fed has been proactively communicating to the market when it got ahead of where the Fed, you know, thought it could go, said, whoa, 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 don't do that. Don't price in 7 or don't price in 6. We said 3 back in December. We're still thinking it looks like 3. It'll be very interesting when they have the March meeting, which is the next time the Fed meets in the middle of March. Mm-hmm. We will find out whether they still look at 3 or whether they've actually pared that down a bit. I don't think they're going to be more aggressive. So I think there's a possibility that the median expectation of cuts comes down from 3 to 2. I don't think that's likely. I think they'll still be at 3, but it is, the risk is that they come down to 2 from 3.
They'll go to June. That's going to, yeah. All this stuff's going to be moved back to June. And then, John, when we get to June and the weather gets a little better, they'll move it to September. And when they get to September, they'll know the Fed can't make a move because September is only a couple months before the election. So
that's right.
You know, but I don't think it's necessary. And the GDP estimate from the Atlanta Fed, GDP now is 2.9 for the first quarter. That's a good number. It's not an explosive number. It's just a good number. All right.
It may actually go up. They were not revising it till next week. There wasn't a lot of revision last week. I think it's going to go up based on what we saw from some of the numbers that came out last week, that the 2.9 may be a low point and we may bounce off it. It's a little hard to tell with that model. It's hard for me to follow and predict, but I wouldn't be surprised if in fact we end February with a higher, you know, with above mm-hmm. 3% on the GDP now estimate.
John Carney is Breitbart News economics editor and co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest. Nobody does it better. Thank you, John. Appreciate it very much. Folks, we're going to talk a little more about the economy and what is Joe Biden's role in the economy. Former Treasury official during the Trump years, Mike Falkender, is going to come on. He's also the chief economist of America First Policy Institute. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow.